What's up, everyone? My name is David here with the Magical Healing the World podcast. And tonight we are talking about love. What is love really? And I have to dedicate this episode to two people. One, of course, my incredible partner, wife, twin flame Megan, who I've learned the most from directly with experience, which I'll talk more about that as the episode goes on. I also want to dedicate this to a really dear brother of mine. He, if you've ever sat with us in any of our retreats or our ceremonies, he's our main musician. His name is Tarek Weber, the most incredible multiverse talented musician I've ever known. But not only that, he has a beautiful understanding of what love truly is. I've actually never met another being that understood it to the depth of what it is, because the world has a very inaccurate view of what love truly is. So I want to dedicate it to both of them. And also, a lot of this I learned from Tarek and his teachings. So there'll be more about him as our podcast continues to go on. And if you're ever come to one of our retreats, you will be blessed to meet him. And even if it has come to our retreats, it is impossible to forget Tarek. He is such a wise, special being and a truly, truly a master of love. But I want to start out with something that I learned from him. And I want to share this because I think this is the root of where most people in the world has love wrong. Most people believe love, what most people think is love, is actually desire. So, and before I say all this, I want to reiterate there's no reason for guilt or shame if any of this resonates, because it's so easy to get caught up in one instead of the other. It's actually a natural human thing, and it's even more beautiful when you do, because as you start to shift it, your whole world and reality of love starts to change, because you are a powerful co-creator, co-creating in every second. So I want to start out by explaining the difference between desire and love, and why 98% of the world is actually in desire. Or maybe they are in love, but their actions show desire. Desire is, I love you so long as I get this out of this. I love you so long as you act this way. I love you so long as you meet this expectation. I love you as long as I am receiving X. I love you as long as you fit into the box that I want you to fit in. That is not love. That is desire. Love is unconditional. Love is, I love you exactly as you are. That's what true unconditional love is. Now, there's a lot of nuances to this because of all the trauma, all the suppressed trauma. When we're a child, anyone listening to this, as a child, what you experienced that was out of your control from a very young age, even to early adulthood, your brain was forming the understanding of love based upon the expressions that you saw and witnessed, which because of the state of the world, because of the depth of spiritual warfare that's out there, specifically targeting the sacred unions and all the trauma, there's a good chance that even on your conscious path, that it's easy to mix up the two. And it's also important to foundationally understand how we treat people, how we think, how we express love. We're going to get that back. Any ideology that you study, any theology, there's this concept of karma that has different names, but what you put out is what you get back. Now, most of the world is in desire, not love. And you really learn about love through the relationships you have. Now, I want to explain this as well. And again, this is just from my experience. I can only speak from my experience. It doesn't have to resonate. Or if it does, great. But something that I've learned, when you are single, you're going to get a lot of your lessons, especially around love, from a multitude of different people. Now, when you make some kind of energetic contract, like normal people would call it boyfriend-girlfriend, when you make a monogamous agreement, some kind of energetic contract that you're going to only date one person, and they understand that, and they say they're only going to date you. There's some kind of known energetic boundaries and contracts created. you are basically making some kind of contract saying, okay, I'm going to learn the majority of my lessons about love through this other being. And then it can get a little more complex because you're talking about two beings, both with wounds likely that they have to work through. And what that also means is because you've agreed to be with this person, you guys will trust, you two will trust each other a little more on an energetic spiritual level. So your walls will come down unconsciously and you're going to project each other's wounds onto, you're going to project your own wounds onto each other in a really divine orchestration of an opportunity to spiritually evolve and continue to learn what love really is, which is not what we've been taught. Now, when you get into a marriage, and again, this is just in my experience, I know there's a lot of different opinions out there, so I can only speak from my experience. I know there's a lot of, for instance, one of the beliefs is marriage is just a piece of paper, which again, I honor anyone's beliefs, but I will tell you, when I made that sacred commitment with Megan and we got married, there was something really powerful that happened. Some kind of spiritual shift absolutely took place. So in my understanding, when you make that commitment on an even deeper level, now you're going to really have an opportunity to learn some of the most uncomfortable but powerful opportunities to transition and learn what love is, as well as work through the deepest layers of wounds within yourself. Not at all in any way, shape, or form saying you got to be married to learn this stuff. Not at all. Anyone can learn this. Everyone has their own unique path and way. I can only speak from mine. So I'm just speaking from my experience. And it's been wild, you know, to give you some personal examples. Megan and I had basically opposite wounds. I had some severe abandonment stuff from seeing a pretty horrible divorce at a really young age, which created all this abandonment in my mind, as well as addiction stuff that I had to work through. Megan had severe levels of sexual abuse from like 7 to her mid-20s, which led to all these physical diseases, autoimmune diseases, and PTSD and insomnia, none of which I've ever dealt with. But when someone has sexual abuse, most of the time they go to one extreme or the other at a very young age. One, they get hypersexualized because that's their only understanding of what the expression of love is. Or they go the other route and they think it's sex and everything with that is just really gross and just close off from it. And Megan went to that side, just closing off. So I had horrible abandonment stuff, which made me think in my little wounded child's mind, even as an adult, that I needed to hear that I was loved, that I needed to feel that I was loved. I needed that constant validation. Whereas Megan, in her wounded child's mind, was, it's not safe to express love. It's definitely not safe to express it in any kind of like verbal or physical way. So we have had a multitude of difficult but beautiful lessons to work through in our marriage to really learn what unconditional love is. And let me tell you, one of the most important factors, and this obviously, again, I'm talking about with me and Megan, so that's all I can speak from, but it does impact people universally, what I'm about to talk about, even in platonic relationships to an extent. So understand on a really deep level that people's spirits energetically will feel what you're thinking about them on an unconscious level. And this is going to tie into judgment because judgment is one of the stickiest, I think it's the stickiest energy out there outside of love, but it's judgment. And I'll give you a quick little story. Just being honest about a mistake that I made years and years ago, early on in Megan and I's journey, whenever I still had a lot of learning and growing to do on this path, and I still do, but an eternal student to it. But back then I had a lot more and I was still working through my own wounds. So there was a time period where because of the abandonment wounds I had and all the things Megan was healing in my mind, and I didn't realize I was doing this until, again, so grateful to ayahuasca. This has been such a sacred medicine, not just from a healing perspective, but from a mind expansion perspective, from an awareness perspective, from giving me the perspectives and the eyes that I wasn't seeing. Ayahuasca does a beautiful job of shoving right into your face what you're missing that you may be doing and getting in your own way. And this was an example of it. Early on, I got really into myself and just selfishly thinking, well, I'm not getting these words or this touch, or I'm not getting what I feel like I need to be loved. So I must not being loved. I'm not being loved. All these crazy stories in my head that were from this wounded child. And I was actually projecting that onto Megan because I wasn't seeing the bigger picture. So it caused all these conflicts and issues in our marriage years ago. Again, incredibly thankful to ayahuasca because I was so caught up in the projection. And that's the thing you got to be careful about in any kind of relationship, but especially the deeper you go in relationships. See, your partner is going to reflect back to you the deepest parts of you that need healing and the deepest parts of you that you need to work on. The trick is not getting caught up in projecting onto them, because that's an endless cycle and you're missing the opportunity to take radical self-responsibility for the uncomfortable feelings that are coming up within you. Now, I am going to talk about, I'm going to come back to the story. I am going to talk about the necessity of boundaries and respect and all that stuff. And this is also not including if there's abuse. So I'm going to talk about all that in a second. But in this case, with Megan and I, ayahuasca showed me that I was actually judging her in my mind, not externally, not with words, but in my mind. And because all Megan knew for the whole first half of her life was an incredibly judgmental family, incredibly abusive, judgmental situation, and so grew up in just this world of judgment, that's the last energy her spirit needed to feel. That was the last thing. So I was actually, without even out of my awareness, judging her in my mind, and that was causing her to close off even more. And the message that came through from the sacred medicine years ago for me on, and this goes along with the journey of love that I'm going to get to here, is that part of my purpose was actually to show her what unconditional love and non-judgment really is, because she's never got to experience that her whole life because of all the stuff she'd been through. So it was a really powerful ceremony. I came out of it and it was like magic, like clockwork. As soon as in my mind, I let go of the judgment and I saw her as this beautiful child that was just still had wounds, just like I did, and was really embodying unconditional love, loving her exactly where she's at and letting go of the judgment, she started to bloom incredibly. And then all these things started taking off with her, and then which means it started taking off with us. So that was just a little key piece that I want to reiterate. And it's not so much the example that's important, it's the concept. In your mind, if you are judging another, they're going to feel that, and it is going to interrupt, especially if you're deeply entangled in regards to a romantic relationship. It's going to interrupt their unconscious safety with you. They're not going to feel as safe to be their most authentic self because everyone's doing the best they can based upon the situations they've been in. Now, this is barring toxic situations or abuse, and only the individual can discern if it's a toxic or abusive situation. Because what I've found is, because remember, unconditional love, well, what I've found, I'll come back to unconditional love in a second. What I've found is most relationships, and again, there's always variables. I don't like to speak in absolutes. There's always variables. But most romantic relationships go one of two paths. One path being, it's someone, you're in a relationship where, yes, there may be difficulties, but both people are equally committed to their inner work for themselves and willing to uncomfortably work through whatever's coming up to become the best versions of themselves and continue to grow together. The other path is, it is a lesson of uncomfortable chapter and lesson of loving yourself enough to know what you do or do not deserve to be treated like. If there are boundaries being crossed, if there is not respect, if there's toxicity, if there's any kind of levels of abuse, any of those factors is usually that path of how much are you going to continue to take and put up with because you're being treated in an abusive or toxic way until you love yourself enough to no longer allow that. And it goes back to love too. So it's either both of them are lessons about self-love, but one of them is more a lesson about self-love and learning how to express it in a healthy way. Or one of them is just a really deep lesson of self-love to love yourself enough to no longer allow yourself to be treated how you do not deserve to be treated. And one of the ways you can work through that is understanding the necessity of creating boundaries of self-love and self-respect for you. Just expressing really clear boundaries, boundaries that are of love, of how you deserve to be spoken to, how you deserve to be loved, how you deserve to be treated. And it's not asking for perfection at all. It's just the key is vulnerability. It's all about the way you express it. I think anything can truly be worked through if the intention of both parties is pure and both parties are willing to be really vulnerable, really truly vulnerable. Tarek uses this example a lot too. It's like jealousy. It's a big thing out there, right? Let's say someone gets jealous and the other person flips out. It's like, how dare you have feelings for another person or say that word to another person, which is this mechanism of fear and control and not knowing how to handle these uncomfortable feelings, which again is really desire. Desire is, I'm loving you so long as you act this way. Unconditional love is, I love you exactly as you are in your fullest expression of you. So a healthy way would be to vulnerably express that. Hey, I'm having these really uncomfortable feelings come up and I just want to express them to you. This is how I feel. Not sure how to deal with these feelings right now, but I want to at least express them to you. I'm feeling this because of what happened. Can we discuss it and can you help me out with it? That's a really vulnerable way just to express what you're feeling. There's all these walls that people put up that are based around desire and not love. But a key to get to that love is vulnerability and being truly vulnerable with that person or your partner, whoever that is. And the world has a long way to go to evolve to what love really is, because unconditional love is also not possessive. That's a whole nother topic, but it's not. But most people are caught up in desire. And it's really incredible the way your world and your relationships can start to shift in the most healthy, amazing ways when you start to choose love over desire. Sometimes you have to get yourself out of the way. You really do. Sometimes, and in those moments, it can be difficult, but you have to look at what is the expression of love that you're expressing in those moments. Most of the time, people get caught up in, well, I'm not getting this. I really want to experience this, and I'm not getting it right now. So it becomes this angry thing or this frustrated thing. Instead, you can say, well, maybe what I want or desire in this moment, I can put that to the side because what's most important right now is love. What's most important is loving them exactly as they are and trusting the process that they're going through. And again, this really only works whenever it's not a toxic or abusive thing. So if it's not toxic or abusive, you can move that out of the way. Then the bigger thing to do, the more effective thing to do on the path to mastering love is to choose love over desire in that moment. Choose the bigger picture of unconditionally loving whoever that person is exactly where they're at instead of this desire that you feel in that moment. There's nothing wrong with vulnerably expressing it, but there's a big difference between vulnerably expressing it and expressing it like they're doing something wrong because of you not getting whatever the desire is that you feel like you should get. So there's a big difference. One's vulnerable, one's abrasive. One thought pattern of loving them where they're at creates peace and harmony and acceptance inside you. The other creates frustration and resentment. So it's all the thoughts and feelings that we're choosing, or it's the thoughts that we're choosing, it's the actions, the display of love that we're choosing. But what's so ironic about this is when you begin to choose love over and over again, when desire comes up and you continuously just choose love first, things start evolving incredibly. But it's a personal, intimate decision within you that you have to do. You have to choose love in that really uncomfortable moment. You have to choose sometimes moving yourself out of the way to love this being exactly where they're at and trusting their process. And you're going to get faced with it in a multitude of different unique ways because every being is in their own unique situation. But we're all masters of love. We're all in this mastery of love trying to navigate and figure out what it is. Love is the most simple but can be the most complex thing to experience and express. But it can be quite simple of what unconditional love is and non-judgment really is. And this world will shift and grow as not only as we heal, but as we all express truly unconditional love, as we all choose love over desire, while still honoring our own boundaries. So again, I can't express enough, this does not apply if there is extreme, if there is toxicity hurting you, or if there's abuse in any way, it doesn't really apply. Then that's a whole different lesson of loving yourself enough to create that boundary. And there's a really beautiful quote, I forgot who says it, and it sounds a little harsh, but there's a lot of truth to it. The quote is, when you create a boundary and someone consistently crosses the boundary, don't move the boundary, move the person. Because the reality is most people are afraid to create these boundaries of self-love and self-respect. For loss of love, they think, if I create this boundary, or I speak this uncomfortable truth, or I say what really doesn't feel good about what's happening, then I'm going to lose this person, and this person will leave me. That's the fear that keeps that from happening. When the sacred, deeper truth is, by you expressing your authentic truth, by you expressing your vulnerability and creating those boundaries, one of two things will happen. If it's a person that truly loves you and is committed to you and committed to their self-work as well, then they will honor that. They will take some self-responsibility, honor that, and things will start to shift. Or two, they won't, and they'll continue to cross the boundary. Then, I don't mean this to sound harsh, but then the onus is on you. Because if you've created that boundary and they continue to cross it, then they're only crossing it because you're allowing it. You are allowing it. And until you no longer allow it by taking whatever uncomfortable action you need to take, whether that's leaving someone, whether that's whatever that is, then they will continue to cross that until you love yourself enough to say no more. It's all deeper ways of learning the depth of what love really is, what unconditional love really is. And it's a patient process. So be really patient and graceful and loving with yourself through this process of learning what true unconditional love is. Because again, Megan and I have had polar opposite wounds we've had to work through. And I can't tell you the beauty that has come in the marriage and the union we have now, but it took an insane amount of inner work, many times just consistently owning our own stuff and choosing love over desire time and time again. And the ironic thing is there's nothing wrong with desire. First of all, I want to be clear, nothing wrong with desire, but as long as love is first, love has to come first. When love is first, desire is perfect. It's a normal, perfect thing, but love has to come first. Desire will never be expressed in the wrong way, or desire will never be expressed in a way that could be harmful, as long as true love is at the root of it. So I wanted to share this message from my heart tonight because I've had so many in-depth conversations about love with Tarek, with my incredible partner Megan, and so many others, because that's been such a prevalent topic at our most recent retreats. But I want to express that because this world will change and heal and shift, and it is changing and healing and shifting, but it will happen more efficiently as we each individually, collectively choose love first. Really choose it too, within us, in our day-to-day decisions, in our actions, in our thoughts, in how we express love. And it goes back to faith too, because a big part of learning love is letting go. It's letting go of the need for control, and definitely not trying to control someone. If you're trying to control someone or fit someone into a box, it will never work. It will never work. You're trying to control someone or fit someone into the box that you think they should be in will absolutely never work. It will only cause lots of energetic and karmic issues. So letting go of the need for control, trusting in the bigger picture, trusting in God, the universe, whatever resonates with you, and really diving deep into the expression of unconditional love and your actions of unconditional love, you will start to get all of that right back. And it will clean up your experience of love so much, so efficiently. And all the things you think you wanted, you'll probably get them or something even better. But it's not until we choose love consistently and begin to embody that. And that is more difficult to do if you're still holding on to deeply suppressed traumas and deep wounds and deep resentment and anger and jealousy and whatever else, all completely normal human emotions that we have based upon the things we've been through in our lives. This is why the healing journey is essential. This is why I talk about it all the time. It's the healing journey, I don't believe it's forever. I've spoken about this before. I'm not in alignment with the spiritual community's concept. The healing journey is forever. I think that's a load of shit. I think that you absolutely can heal 100%. Your conscious evolving journey, your conscious evolving journey is forever. Your ability to learn and grow and have higher perspectives, that's constantly evolving and growing. But the healing journey, while it isn't forever, it is a necessity to prioritize. It is a necessity to prioritize. Because it's much more difficult to express these things when these wounds are still being held on to. So be really patient, loving, and gentle with yourself in this process. Megan and I love you all so much. We really, really do. We really do. The last thing I want to mention about love, unconditional love, it doesn't mean unconditional love does not mean unconditional access to your energy. So to keep your energy clean, you want to stay out of judgment, but you don't have to. You can create boundaries with beings that are not aligning with you and still love them from afar, if that's for the best. That has a lot to do with whatever other beings you may be dealing with in your experience that you're still holding resentment towards. That energy of that connection is going to impact your reality. So the more you can send unconditional love from a distance and continue to have whatever boundary you need with beings that are not healthy for you, the more that's going to clean up your experience too. Anyway, I wanted to go over that. I wanted to speak on love. Again, this is why the healing journey is such an essential piece, because it's way easier to express these things once these wounds are healed. The last thing I want to mention, we, of course, our ayahuasca retreats, we have some incredible medicine right now from Colombia. I'm actually going to Colombia tomorrow for about a week to do some maintenance work with an incredible teacher over there. And then coming back for the next few ayahuasca retreats that we're hosting here in Texas in January. And then we are sold out till February. We still have a few spots there. And I do want to mention, for anyone that is not quite ready for a journey, I just launched the New Earth Academy. I've been working on this for months, incredibly excited about it. I wanted to create something that's super cost effective that has a ton of value. So the New Earth Academy is a private group. And we meet every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central and do a private Zoom call. Really powerful, advanced processes of reprogramming the subconscious mind, stepping into your spiritual abilities, mastery of love, all of these topics. I go over them in pretty deep detail in a private group every Tuesday. And then anyone that signs up, I also do a personal one-on-one hour-long session with them, figuring out where you're at, what you got going on, and create a really effective plan forward. All the calls are fully recorded too. It's $99 a month, and you get 4 calls a month, as well as a one-on-one hour-long call, and all of them are recorded. So it's super effective, a lot of value in it, and there's a daily WhatsApp group there for daily support. So feel free to reach out to me on any social media channel or email me at david@magical.com. david@magical.com. If you'd like info on that, I'd be honored to have you. If you do join, then let's get that one-on-one scheduled. Let's jump on a Zoom and get you rocking, start working through these unconscious and subconscious programs and clearing up whatever blocks you're dealing with in your life. New Earth Academy is launched, though. It's live. Message me if it calls to you. Continue to choose love over desire and watch your world transform. Love you all so, so much. Happy healing.